We should be grateful to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in this great night again for us. He has in the form of a gathering given us the ability to sit in a gathering. The discussion that we have here on a regular basis is based on pain. Pain and concern for the akhirah and recognition of our weaknesses. And we get together, we think about our weaknesses, our downfalls, our deficiencies, and then we pray that Allah Ta'ala, the signs of the weaknesses, the weaknesses that we have, whatever signs and advice you give to us in this gathering, may Allah Ta'ala also give us the ability to eliminate the weaknesses we have. Look, if we look and see that when a person has wealth in his possession, mal, then that person's responsibility increases. As the wealth increases, his responsibility continues to increase. If there's a person who has less wealth, less fortune, then he sleeps with peace and relax. But when he has wealth, then the concern increases. A bit more wealth comes, then the concern increases. Are the doors locked? Did I lock the doors? Did I lock the windows? Don't forget to lock the doors, okay? If he didn't have money, he'd sleep with ease, because if somebody comes, what's he going to take? Nothing. He's going to waste his time. If a bit more wealth comes, then he'll say, look, where's the good alarm company? We need to install a good alarm. If some more mal comes, some more wealth comes, more worry, more concern, more distress. The wealth increases, the fikr increases. What's he afraid of? Because I've got money, I've earned it. If the thief comes, I don't want him to steal my wealth. And there will be nobody who doesn't have this concern. And you should have the concern. Of course, it's not a small matter. You should have that concern and worry. And you should protect your wealth and your goods. You should apply three locks. Because you got wealth. Money. So in the same way, if we see the wealth of the akhirah, say subhanallah, subhanallah, the wealth of the hereafter, and that's more valuable than the wealth of this world. It's extremely valuable, extremely valuable. And if we are worried about the wealth here, that I don't want it to be stolen, that don't I have worry for my salah, that I don't want that to get stolen. Is it not wealth, salah, namaz? Isn't it? So when a recitation of Quran, is this not wealth? It's a massive wealth. And the wealth of this world is nothing compared to that. Alif, lam, meem. If you recite these letters, so much wealth that the whole universe and what it contains cannot compare to this. Is this not the case? Ask the ulema, the respected scholars. Alif, lam, meem. Three letters. What does this become? Quran. And whose kitab is the Quran? Allah's kitab. Who brought the Quran? Jibreel alayhi salam. And who did he reveal it to? Imamul Anbiya, the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So is this the case, brothers? Yes. So the words, the letters, to read them, Allah loves this action so much, He likes this action so much. Allah Ta'ala says, this man has recited Alif, Lam, Mim. Open the doors of paradise for him. Open the doors of paradise for him. So is this wealth in the world good? The wealth of the Quran good, or that wealth of the world for which we put five locks on our home? So in the same way, people of wisdom, understanding, they consider deen as wealth. We come, praise Allah, quickly. Gone, went to the car, just went to the car, and that's the end of story. Now, they don't have this concern and worry that just like when we have worry about wealth of the world and there are thieves, bandits running after the wealth, then there are many bandits and thieves for this, many, many more, stronger. And it's stated in the Quran, there are two thieves, two bandits running after you. Nafs, base desires, and shaitan. But we don't think about this. Well, which thief will come? Oh, I'm not against the shaitan and nafs. I'll say, no, I don't have any material shaitan. He's doing his bits and bobs, and I'm doing my bits and bobs. I'm doing my work. Yes, we don't look towards him, think about him. What enmity have I got with shaitan? Nothing. But those who have understanding, Allah has said that he's a duwwum mubeen. you is your affirmed, avowed enemy, then definitely he will have a strong approach to you. What's his strong approach? That he makes the person who's rich with regards to Akhirah, makes him poor. He pickpockets that person. He wants to cut his pocket, take his goods, and eliminate his deeds. And the biggest trick that he play with you is that the deeds, he won't give you the understanding of the importance of deeds. For example, I said to you, Alif Lam Mim, and we recite the whole juz, sipara. The para is in our hearts. Then we read the tafsir, the commentary. Then we increase that knowledge. We teach tafsir to others. They're such great amal, deeds. And shaitan, he minimizes them so much, how? That if we consider them great, then would we not be cautious about protecting them? We would, wouldn't we? We would. But as soon as we prayed a juz of the Quran, that's how I've become very rich, alhamdulillah. An hour ago or something else, now I've become more wealthy. I've increased my treasures of the Akhirah and I've deposited into my bank account of the hereafter. Does anybody feel like this? Until now, that I hadn't read the Quran, then I started to read the Quran, subhanAllah. So I can read Quran as well, now I've become rich, wealthy. Okay, Quran's coming to my heart, subhanAllah. I've memorized it, but I've become even more wealthy now, subhanAllah. Okay, tafsir has come, commentary, mashallah. The commentary has come as well now. Oh, so now I can take the points out, and as the more rewards of the Akhirah, and Allah Ta'ala gives to us, then we become more rich, more wealthy, more prosperous. But we have very low recognition. We value £5. We'll start counting our sale, turnover. Oh, £5, mashallah. I increased my turnover by £5. I'm enjoying myself. I did good that I didn't close my shop on time. I got £5 more today. We feel good about that, don't we? Is this right or wrong? The business people, you are businessmen. Do you understand this? And if one extra customer comes, wow, mashallah. Oh, at least he's bought an extra loaf of bread. At least my stock's reduced. And he becomes happy, the shopkeeper. So more happy than this, may Allah Ta'ala instill this happiness into us, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq, ability to do a good deed, then we should be very happy at that time. Happiness should be generated within us, and we should protect that happiness. If we don't have that, then we should consider shaitan has looted us, nafs has looted us, we don't value these treasures. And if we don't value that, then you don't get the reward in the hereafter. Remember, these notes will be counted in the hereafter. Those people who appreciate them in the world, Allah will say thereafter that you didn't appreciate them. You have no notes. You didn't send the goods. You didn't do the deeds. You didn't value your deeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this truth what I'm saying? Is this too strict? You're not getting angry with what I'm saying, are you? No. Okay. Fine. So realize. So this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us status and gives us amal. May Allah ta'ala increase that. But what we need to do is that we need to be cautious, careful. What should be the caution? That nafs and shaitan, the base desires and shaitan, we should protect ourselves from these two. Now, what we need to see is, what do we need to protect ourselves? We need to have recognition and value, appreciation of iman. We should appreciate the value of iman, that this is not a waste, this is not wrong. My iman is a great gift that Allah Ta'ala has given to me, that today, compared to millions of people, Allah has given me tawfiq to come and sit in dhikr today. Don't cry, I had to come from so far away, I had to put fuel into my car, I had to spend time. The further you're coming from, the more richer you are, the wealthier you are. So should you be happy or crying, complaining? So you should value and appreciate this, that look, Allah's great ni'mah upon me, that Allah has invited me from so far away. I left my work, wife, children, family, I left everything. How did this love come into my heart? And shaitan came to my home. Oh, you can do dhikr at home today. Okay, listen to it online. Or do this or that. But no, Allah's karam, extreme mercy, that he did not want to make me low on hope. Allah invited him from so far away, sat him down in the majlis, gave him so much wealth, that there's no limit to that. And the person should be happy for that, shouldn't he? Shouldn't he? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So will you be happy in future? Insha'Allah. Now what does shaitan do next? He says, oh, you're nothing, you're a waster, you're empty box, you've come to dhikr, no reward for you, you're just the same as you were before. And he'll lessen the strength of your amal. So what if you're a hafiz? There's so many hafiz in the world. So what if you're a scholar? So many other mufassirs in the world who do tafsir. What do you think you are? You're teaching hadith to people. There's many other people do this. What's this? Okay, if you're doing work of da'wah or tabligh, there's many others do that. I do that. Shaitan will say to you. Nafs will say to you. They'll lessen the impact, the value of what you're doing. So the second point is, when you have amal, deeds, then what we should do is immediately, we should consider them as fantastic deeds, massive deeds. Allah's given me a massive, massive opportunity. He's given me wealth. So what's the next step after that? Is to value and appreciate and protect them. The wealthier you are in the akhirah, the more you should value your deeds. What should you do? Protect your deeds. Now the example I'll give you this is this. The akabreen, our pious elders, the walis Allah, the pious predecessors, great muhaddithin that have passed in histories, mufassireen, commentators of hadith, Quran, who commentated on the Quran, explained the Quran. But here, one thing you will realize, is that Allah Ta'ala, the more He elevated their status, the more they protected what they had. SubhanAllah. The more they protected. And look into history, read back. And you'll realize this. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Gogohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, that our Akabarin, our pious elders, pious predecessors, if we look at their lives, what was their practice? That they had so high level, they were pious, thousands of books, kitabs, tafsir of Quran, but what did they have within them? They knew that this is the wealth of the Akhirah, the wealth of their after is azim, great wealth. And in the same way then, they worked hard to secure their deeds. Is this not the case? How did they secure their deeds? How did they padlock their deeds? From that enemy, the enemies who will loot this wealth, who is that? Nafs and shaitan, base desires and Satan. So to save yourself, your deeds, otherwise they'll steal them. They'll rob you. How will they rob you? How does shaitan and nafs rob your deeds, your spiritual deeds of the hereafter? How do shaitan and nafs rob us, steal from us, commit theft? We need to protect. If we don't know, how can we protect? So as a person becomes more wealthy and rich in the akhirah and his status becomes elevated and higher, then he feels one thing. Nafs inside him starts to develop illnesses, disease, defects within him, strong defects. What does he do inside? He starts to create defects. Due to his amal, he becomes so ill that this wealth of his, the amal, the treasure of the hereafter, starts to get stolen and diminished. I'll give you the example. These are internal sicknesses that destroy a person. For example, there's a person who's practiced a lot of deeds, muttaqi, zahid, and he's high in terms of the akhirah. People salute him, salam to him, think he's good. We'll say, oh, mashallah, he's a great guy. Humble guy. Practicing. He's pious. Does a lot of ibadah. He's a great scholar. Maulana. He's a pious man. He gets status, innit? Recognition. He prays salah, fasting, qiyam, stands in prayer. People come to him and say salam. On the other side, what's happening internally, inside him, that he should be protecting, but nafs is destroying him. What does the nafs do to him? That what does the game that nafs plays, that within him it develops diseases, illnesses, such dangerous diseases, all his amal are wasted, devoured. Example, let's take one illness of the nafs, that the nafs develops within us, a spiritual internal sickness. The human being, the individual, when he practices amal, improves, increases, he starts to improve his deeds, then what is the sickness that develops with him? Let's all think about this, all of us, because alhamdulillah, I know that there may be many walis of Allah sat here today with high maqam. Because in this day and age to practice the sunnah, is it a minor thing? In the young age to keep a beard, is it easy nowadays? In this day and age, to sit in the dhikr of Allah morning and evening, is it easy? No. To save yourself from the sins, is it easy? No, only those people do that who are awliya Allah, who Allah Ta'ala has made his friends. Only they can do that. I'm saying this clearly. Young, with black beards, young, and they've got paths of doing sin and alcohol and sin A, B, C, D. They have no lack of opportunities to sin. Many paths they can go down. But Allah's karam and mercy upon them, alhamdulillah, they have improved themselves, changed themselves for the better. So are these minor people? No. So I put my hands together and plead in front of you that Allah has given you great status. You are friends of Allah. So may not be that you have that sickness inside you that is eating away you inside. You know, like the woodworm that eats the wood and you sit on it, it collapses. So it may not be that when the box of beads are open and there's nothing there. So when an individual starts to get rich, deeds for thereafter, what's the sickness that comes inside him? The most dangerous sickness comes inside him. May Allah Ta'ala save us from this sickness when we're practicing. What is that sickness? Is that person, he starts to think that he is pious. He thinks he's good. Oh, I'm close to Allah, I'm practicing good deeds, I've got knowledge and amal. So that's the arrow of the nafs piercing his heart. What does he think? He thinks, oh, I'm accepted, I'm forgiven. Allah has accepted me. Look, I do these deeds. That person's not doing dhikr, I do dhikr. He doesn't read Quran, I read Quran. He doesn't do these deeds, I do. I know tafsir, he doesn't know tafsir. I can do this and that. I've got ilm, knowledge in all sectors and fields, and he hasn't got nothing. We start thinking like this. Then he starts to become proud of himself. Starts to make a fuss upon his deeds. A fuss. Yes? And he thinks that he has achieved everything compared to others. Because the wealth has come, isn't it? So he starts to have pride, showing off, people bow in front of him and salute him. Then he gets even more satisfaction. Then what happens next? Nafs increases this feeling of him. And his style and mannerism becomes such that that deed, what does he do? What happens? That deed that he was doing, he thinks the owner of that deed. He thinks that this amal, I've done this. It was due to me. Nobody enabled me. It was me who thought about it. And I practiced it. I got up and I practiced and I went, me, 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 ego. And he starts to own himself, his deed. His nafs overtakes him, that I'm the one who's capable of this. I thought about this. I intended to do this. This is my deed. Due to my capability, my health, my energy, my working hard, I tried and I did it. I did this for this, and I traveled for this, and I made effort for this. So his nafs takes him to the higher level, that he thinks it's him who's enabled himself. So he was big-headed, he thinks he's a wali Allah, he thinks he's pious, and he thinks it's due to his own efforts that he's achieved. And all these feelings develop within him. I'm this, I'm that, and he becomes detached from reality. Then he starts to want that people respect him, because I've got this knowledge and I'm practicing. I want people to accept that I'm pious. I want them to respect me. I want them to elevate me onto a pedestal. And eventually the nafs makes him feel and believe that this amal is due to your efforts and energy and hard work, not for the mercy of anything else. And this sickness is called a person who self-praises himself. Self-praise. Ego. Self-ego, big ego. And the punishment in the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the person who praises himself and thinks of himself as best, he is destroyed and will not attain anything in the hereafter. The person who has these feelings. So this action of self-praise, haughtiness, big-headedness, to save themselves from this disease, our pious elders, just to save themselves from this, they changed the direction. And they were desperate that these feelings and sicknesses were not developed inside them. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Example. It wasn't this that, I'm telling you the truth, brothers, that in my life, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, I had done ziyarah. I sat at the footsteps of the pious elders. I met them, great pious people. And who I've met, what I've read and what I've seen, nowhere could I think. There's such great pious personalities who in front of us, their names we know, your hair stand on them when you hear their names. That never did they go down that wrong path. Why did they do this action? That, for example, they never practiced deeds to become walis of Allah or pious or to see miracles. No, they practiced the deen of Islam, that I don't want these sicknesses in my heart, that I consider myself the best. I want to be cured. I want to rid myself of these sicknesses. This is a very delicate line and path of the deen, my brothers. That, for example, why are you coming to dhikr? Why are you taking bayah to the shaykh? Well, for this reason, because I'll become pious, I'll start seeing good dreams, people think I'm a wali and I'm good. No. And the surprising thing is that when a person starts to adopt the cure and control himself, then he goes higher and higher, more spiritual and clean and pure, despite being pure in with regards to himself, how he considers himself. He considers himself as a twig, a branch. I'll give you the example of a great personality. Very great personality. That even the people who didn't accept him, they believed in him. And who was that? Hazrat Umar Farooq. Radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. Today, people have accepted in their kitab, that book, 100 Greatest People in History, they've included Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu in the kitab. That he was a great personality. Tell me, what quality Allah Ta'ala must have instilled him? Why was he great? They accepted his greatness, the source of his greatness. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu writes in a hadith that when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was about to pass away, then he said to his son, now look here how he annihilated his nafs, lowered himself. Great status he had, Hazrat Umar. Example, he said, my son, do one action. He said, yes, dear father, what? He said, lay me on the ground and my face, rub my face on the dust of the ground. Subhanallah. Imagine, he said, rub my face in the soil. Why? He said, father, how? He said, quickly do it. Why? Why? Time is short, time is short. Why? Because I consider that this position, my face in the soil, rubbed in the dirt on the earth, maybe my Rabb, my Lord, because I've got no deeds, maybe my Rabb, my Lord, on this he will have mercy on me, have pity on me, and he'll forgive me. Allah. And that was his, these were his last words on the tip of his tongue. These were his last words. That may Allah forgive me. And when the word maghfirah came, then he passed away. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, a great personality. Tell me. Why? Because they were so high, so lofty, they had recognition of what they had and what they needed to be. That everything we've got, what we've done, it's not mine. It's not due to my achievement. The salah, who made us pray salah? Allah made us pray salah. Who made us prostrate? Who allowed us to read Quran? Who allowed Hazrat Umar Adiyan to practice? Who? They had recognition, awareness. And if we don't have this awareness, I've done this, I'm good, I'm an alim, I'm a scholar, then his style and mannerism is different. That sickness overlaps him, overtakes him. Then he starts to praise himself. High self-esteem. Self-esteem. Why is due to my effort? Why does he have self-esteem, self-praise and haughtiness? Because he doesn't have fikr. He's not worried how to protect the wealth of his deen. If he doesn't have worry how to protect his deen, he hasn't protected it. If he hasn't protected it, then the sickness comes into him. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So the status has been given by Allah. Allah has given him the ilm, the knowledge. Allah has given him amal, practice. Allah has given all of this. But he hasn't considered that all of this, somebody is giving this. And whoever gives, he can also take away. He can also take away. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. That he considers that this is my wealth, my effort, my practicing. So my brothers, self-praising and haughtiness is a very severe, dangerous sickness inside a person, and it's desperate. We are desperately in need to remedy this sickness. Desperately in need, because Allah Ta'ala gives rewards to people. After today, He'll let us pray Salah Fajr, do Dhikr, recite Quran, He'll give us ilm, knowledge, He'll give us a lot of recognition. But in parallel, what we need to think about, be very careful, is that am I becoming haughty? Showing off, I'll give you some signs of a person who has haughtiness, who shows off, who's big-headed. He's doing dua, praying. And the person who's big-headed, showing off, haughtiness, how will he do dua? He said, I prayed the tahajjud, I'm asking from Allah, why isn't Allah given to me? I'm doing so much worship in the day, every day. Why my dua's not being accepted? He's demanding. He's demanding due to his deeds. What a big sickness. He comes to that point. That Allah, I'm doing this, despite doing all of this. That I've gone to the Kaaba, I've gone around the Kaaba, done dua, I've asked from Allah. And when this feeling comes into person that in return for my worship and Allah's not delivering to me, then he is the biggest, haughtiest, the person with the extreme haughtiness. And the biggest head, because he's considering that I've done this, Amal, not that my Rabb allowed me to do it. I did this, and if I've done this, what am I asking for? Why is Allah not giving to me? that a person, I heard him saying this from his mouth, until today I cannot forget those words he uttered. He said, I've done this amal, I've done this deed, and upon this deed, I did this deed for this reason, so that Allah Ta'ala promised that if you do this, that you cannot be this, and you cannot get sicknesses, and I've become sick, this disease has come into my life. I was shocked. He said, I've become sick. Allah Ta'ala promised. I thought, and he thought that he's arguing with Allah. And he said, I've done this amal. Allah promised that this won't happen to me. Why did I become sick? Why did Allah give me this sickness? That I did this amal, that Allah Ta'ala said that this will not happen to me. Along this side, this deed, this sickness will not come. So why have I become sick like this? He uttered these words. Tell me, the person who dies in this state, what will be his hal? What will be his condition? He had a severe sickness, and after that was death. Khair tried to explain to him, cooled him down. But because all lifelong his ibadah was under which cloud? He had takabbur, he had pride. Because this links with takabbur, in a person who has a big head, who shows off, who thinks he's done everything himself. There's pride, he's got pride. So that's the first one sign. This is the sign that I've done this, well, I'm not getting the reward. Get big nose, big head, I'm doing these ibadat. Why is Allah Ta'ala not accepting my du'as? He thinks he's maqbool, accepted. I've raised my hands, this should happen. When I do this deed, it should happen, because I'm accepted by Allah. I'm very pious, I'm established, I've achieved. Everyone gives salam to me, salutes me, I'm pious. But inside, he's a waster. Waster. So to save yourself and protect yourself from this disease, there's one solution. The person, the center focal reason for this is that person forgets his Lord, his Rabb, and he puts his nafs in front of him. But who gives to us? Allah gives to us. What does he say? It's me. It's me who's doing this. The cure for this, I'll explain that we have to do every moment, because this disease is inside us. We need to cure this, because we are becoming that. Oh, this sickness will come. If we don't implement the cure, then the thief will come. The thief will come. First and foremost, when there's a theft, the policeman comes. Do you know what he asks? First and foremost, he doesn't ask, is this a theft, or did the burglary take place? Why? We say, what locks did you apply to your home? When you know when a theft takes place or a burglary, you say, did you turn the key in the lock? Look, let's look how good your locks are, how strong they are, how robust they are. This is the same thing. So if Allah Ta'ala will ask us, that you have come to me and you think about your deeds are so high, did you apply the padlock to your deeds? Did you protect them? There are people who, mashallah, apply the locks to their deeds in the world. They are elevated. Shall I tell you the lock, how to apply it? Shall I tell you what's the padlock on your deeds to secure them? The padlock for your deeds, or the lock, or whatever you want to call it, is, I'll give you the example first, so it's very easy for you to understand. That Allah Ta'ala puts it into my mind, so I explain. That I'm not a mufassir, a commentator, a muhaddith, a scholar of hadith. I'm the dust on your shoes. I have no knowledge. Nothing. So, look. If, for example, you work in a factory or in an office, okay? And you will always be careful about one thing. That my boss, the duties he's given to me, assigning to me, if I don't implement these tasks, what will he do? The boss, he'll take me out. He'll maybe suspend me, sack me. You'll feel this, and you have this fear. If I don't complete this file, this work, then boss will come after me, pressurize me. So he's afraid. So after that, what do? With that boss, we start to sort of become the sidekick of that boss. Why? Because I don't want him to take me out of the job. I start to become friendly with him, because he's given me the job. He's given me the salary. He's my boss. He's in charge. So I need to be good with him, get close to him, and pamper him, and so that he doesn't take me out of the job, so my job continues. Otherwise, how will I feed my children, give them clothes? So he tries as much as he can to strengthen the connection with who? With the boss. Will he do this or not? The employee. Employee always wants good relations. He won't listen to his mother or father or wife. No, I've got to go to work. My boss will be upset if I don't go. I need to work. I didn't ask him for leave, etc. No, I've got to go. He'll bypass everyone. No, yaar. I've got to go, otherwise I'll get the sack. And he'll go in, have to give salam to the boss, work for the boss. Yeah, he's strengthening that link, that connection. That it may not be that he takes me out of the job. And this is the point that we need to understand. That when an individual has yaqeen, certainty, that who's the one who gives? Allah is the one who gives. Allah. Who gives us the ability to praise? Allah. Who gives us wealth? Allah. Who gives us children? Allah. Everything is given to us by who? Allah. Who is the greatest boss? Allah. So the best way that what we should do is that Allah Ta'ala should come into our heart and we should create the connection with Allah. Salute Allah. Remember Allah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. When we become happy with Allah, we remember Allah, think about Allah, ask from Allah before doing any action, salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, ilm, knowledge, amal, tabligh, propagation, ta'lim, education, before doing any action and after doing the action, be very careful of one thing, that the one who gives and the one who's making me do is one is Allah, nobody else. Nobody else. Every moment think about Allah. For example, how? Thou prayed salah. First and foremost, after praying salah, what should you do? Allah, I'm so grateful to you, give me the ability to pray salah. If you didn't give me the ability, if it wasn't your blessings, I could never be able to pray to you. I could never pray to you. This is the padlock, strong, and it will eliminate self-praise, self-esteem and haughtiness. Direction has changed now. Who gives? Allah gives. We know this. We feel this. We accept this. And if Allah gives them, what's the fear that will come in the heart? That Allah is the greatest power. The other example I'll give to you is that when a person gives you a car, that look, here's a car, use it. Here's the car key. Take the car. So when you utilize the car, then there'll be fear in your heart whilst you're using the car. That I don't want him to take it away from me, this car. You'll feel this, won't you? This good car, nice car, I don't want him to take it away from me. He's given it to me. He could any time give my car back. What will I do then? What will I do then? It's a nice car. So I need to be careful, look after it with regards to the car, use it nicely. Because if he takes it back from me, what will I do? So I need to strengthen my connection with him. So when a person develops this feeling, salah, who gives us the strength to pray salah? Allah, our Rabb. Whoever's given that salah, he can also take it back the next day. Then what will happen to me? Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So today Allah has given me ilm, He's given me a maqam, He's given me the status. So Allah Ta'ala, you've given this all to me. So if you were to take it from me, then what would happen to me? What will happen to me? So two things now. One is the recognition, the considerate is Allah's reward. Every deed is Allah's reward. And secondly, you should have this fear. Allah, you've given me these deeds today. Please Allah, don't take them away from me tomorrow. And keep this existent, and Allah, this ni'mah you're giving to me, Allah, this treasure, Allah, please don't take it back from me. Don't take it away from me. You have total power that you can bring the greatest and highest of people down, and the people in the lowest pit, you can elevate them. Today in the world, I'm an alim, a muhaddith, a scholar, I'm recognized, I'm a pious person. People recognize me in the world. I don't care about this. Allah, I've got the fear. I'm afraid may not be tomorrow that people will throw slippers at me because you are the one who gives, Allah, and if you take it back from me, then what will be my maqam, my level? I swear when a person develops this fear, then he becomes so humble, has so much humility. If he's an alim, then he will not see any difference between himself and a jahil. He will never have the, why did you give the seat to this guy when he's illiterate and I'm an alim? No, rather you'll say, no, he deserves that seat, that person. I don't deserve it. Please give to him. Feed him first, give him the better seat, I'll go to the back. Give him the better position. It's not necessary to give to me, I don't need this. Subhanallah. Why? Because he knows that this is temporary, this recognition of mine. Subhanallah. That this izzah, respect is temporary. Everything he extracts from his heart. Doesn't matter how much Quran he's recited, read, knowledge. When he wants to take it out, he takes it out. Just like the hair from the flower. Yes? But if you have these two feelings now, emotions, Allah, all my capacity and capability you've given, you have made me what I am, you've given my respect, you've made me pray salah, I was sleeping, you brought me here. Then dua. Second point, that Allah, you've allowed me to pray. You've allowed me to pray today. Maybe tomorrow you won't let me pray. Maybe you'll make me do an action which is impure. Fikr, concern, elevation Allah, you've given to me. Be grateful for that and have that concern that Allah, tomorrow don't take it back from me. Don't take it away from me. Have the fear for that. These two things that they developed in you, Alhamdulillah, then instead of self-praise, self-esteem, Allah gives something else as a gift in replacement of that. Say Subhanallah. And it's a great gift and a great glorious status, great elevated status in the hereafter. And what is that? That Allah will give? Allah will give humility. A person will be humble And he'll consider that as a treasure. Not that he's illiterate, I'm an alim, I'm hafiz, he's illiterate, he doesn't know how to recite, I know, I'm better, I'm higher, I'm a pious person, he's nothing. No, no, no. No differentiation. No differentiation. I remember an event in my life, I'll share it with you. With Hazrat Sahib's permission, I went to Miskinpur. To Hazrat Fadal Ali Quraysh Rahmatullah, his khanqa, great khanqa I'm speaking to you about. Great place. What a great khanqa I'm talking about here. Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh Rahmatullah, his deputy, his grandson, Hazrat Kalimullah Shah Sahib, Alhamdulillah, I've seen such great people. Hazrat gave me that permission. I travel by day, the next day, lengthy trip, bus, walking through desert environment by foot. Hazrat Sahib assigned a person with me, a colleague with me, and there were great experiences on the way. Afternoon time, very hot in those areas, extreme heat. So, and it was a hot month of the year. We arrived in the afternoon, and before Dhuhr, in our area, before Dhuhr, there's like a hot wind, hot storm, and intense heat comes onto a person. It's the sky is very hot at that time. So in the desert areas, in the village, Alhamdulillah, there's a tradition, the people, they're in their own homes, they eat in the afternoon, then they have some rest. So we arrived at that time to Miskinpur. Now there, we saw there's no one around, no one to be seen. So he was with me, us two, we did wudu. After doing wudu, we prayed two rakah nafal. Then we thought, that should we do ziyarah, or should we sit down afternoon time to eat? And we saw there's a man coming, an individual, and he had a blanket wrapped around him. And he said, are you travelers? We said, we're travelers. He said, okay, come. I said, are you a khadim of the khanqa? Because there are khadims, people who help, assist in the khanqa. So he took us, he said, you rest here, I'll bring some food for you, I'll prepare some food. And there's a straw mat, chatai, in the villages, they have a straw mat. He laid that out, and he put some pillows there. He said, you sit here, and you sit here, to my colleague. Then he introduced me. He said, okay. And he gave some attention to my colleague. He said, you rest, I'll bring some food. And I'll get for you some good food, I'll prepare for you. That's the tradition in the villages, in the countryside areas. So there was the sherbet of gur, and there was it's like a sugary food. And mashallah, Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh Ramdullah's village in Khanqa, where his dawat, the feast we were eating, subhanAllah, this event that I remembered. So we had the food, he cooked food for us, and alhamdulillah, that dawat of Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh we ate. We had to go and do his ziyarah, so I lay down, feel sleepy. Obviously a person who's there feels a sort of drowsiness, a nice feeling. I saw somebody's pressing my legs. I looked, it was that same brother. I said, maybe he's a khadim. Khadims do this, you know, people who assist in the khanqa. He's pressing my legs, giving du'as and giving me ease. I said, stop this, please, stop this. Don't need this. He said, no, you're our guest. You must be tired, I'll help you. So when we got up, I did wudu, then he bought food, hot food. And Marshall, he stood there with his hands together, said, please eat. We were eating, he was talking to us, and with no formalities, with ease, and it was all time. We did wudu, then we went to the khanqa. We said, Hazrat hasn't come yet. And I'm asking people, it's Salah time. And then he came, I sat down, my colleague. Then who was Hazrat? That same person, all afternoon, was pressing my legs, presented the food, say, subhanAllah, he was the sheikh. Can anyone imagine this? And Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh Ramdullah, his deputy. And oof, I was amazed, we were shocked that at that time, that what was happening. Anyway, then he gave us attention, he called us down, sat us down, gave us love and affection. He said, no, this is fard on us, you are our guests. We have to serve you. Then Jalal of Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh, he gave us attention with love and affection. He met us, he said, you come from far, you come from Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullahi, and you've come from his direction, and why shouldn't I assist you and serve you? Then the gathering was formed. So this point, it pierced my heart that you don't become a wali just like this. Your name doesn't get elevated just like this. Why? Because the maqam Allah gave to him, he had two things in front of him. That Allah is your ni'mah, and you can take this ni'mah as well anytime. This is not my achievement in this. Not my achievement. That these are the... So if we felt that I am the grandson of Fazal creation, I should have this. No! All these feelings evaporate from that person. Allah, you allowed me to pray. You allowed me to come to the masjid. Otherwise I could never come to the masjid. You gave me ilm. And you could take the knowledge away from me. and that you could make this, the thieves steal everything from my heart. It's you, Allah, who's given this. When this becomes a repetition in your heart, and the fear is in your heart, that there's something I've got, Allah, you could take it away from me. And you have yaqeen, there's no guarantee you are the Malik, Allah. And the Malik, the owner, he's the Malik, isn't he? He could take whatever he wants, and he can take, give it when he wants, take it. The owner of the car, he gives, and he can take the car away when he wants, isn't he? Still his car. But on the other hand, the person who thinks he's the best, he never pays attention. Allah gave me salah, Quran, Allah gave you, gave me ilm. Never in his life does he pay attention to this. He never has fear of anything. He thinks he's achieved, self-achieved. Yeah? If you ask him, it's me who's done it. So this is a very dangerous point. And this came into my mind that our pious elders have taught us. What's the reward for this? From this, the people become awliyaullah. Walizullah, when humility comes, they become humble and they don't like themselves and think they're the best. Instead of a person who sinfully becomes the waliyaullah, he becomes the friend of Allah. Then he has got no fussiness, no haughtiness where he sits. Doesn't matter if there are hundreds of thousands of people running after him, saluting him, saying salam to him, thinks the best, he has no care. Whether he's in a car, sat on the pavement, walking down the road, whether someone respects him or not, he has no care, no regard. Because he said, everything that's been given to me has come from who? From Mawla, from Allah. So he can take as well today, he could give today and take tomorrow. I have no need for recognition in the world. What I need is that when I die, when I'm passing away, I'm stood in front of my death, and I'm stood in front of my Lord, and my Lord says, Allah, I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you. That's what he wants. All this ibadah I did for that second, my Allah, so you can become happy with me. I didn't do it for the dunya, nor did become pious, for karamat, or kashf, or visions, or for miracles. That everything I did, dhikr, I took bayah of my sheikh, I served my sheikh, and I went after my sheikh. Whatever path you selected for me to get close to you, I adopted that path for one reason, Allah, that you took me to that path and had this fear. Allah, please continue and take me on this path and don't take me off that path. Because people do take U-turns and come off the tracks. So this is a great name of Allah that today has allowed us to learn this message. You're doing dhikr today, doing amal on the sunnah. MashaAllah, you're praying salah, you're praying tahajjud, and you're trying to save yourself from sins. This is a great ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given to you. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Today we should create a recognition and awareness of this. It's not a minor point that in the morning you get up, you wander around, and this silsila Naqshbandiya, you're members of it, you sit down for an hour, do maraqabah. You remember Allah, the angels are surrounding you right now. This hadith teaches us this. When you get up and depart this gathering, you'll get thawab of one hajj and one umrah. All the day's issues and problems and defects, Allah guarantees that I will protect you, your amal, your deeds, everything I will elevate, increase your wealth. I guarantee, Allah says, I'll save your iman, and then He sends us away from the gathering. Imagine, who comes? Who comes? Have wealthy people come? People with money, have they come? People who've got treasures and money and wealth, people who've got ilm and knowledge, have they come? Is any mufassir sitting here? No. Allah selected a few fakirs. The Quran they don't even know how to read. Allah Ta'ala has given them the status. Subhanallah. Allah says, whoever I like and prefer, I bring that person to my gathering. So Allah's mercy is amazing, massive. So we should recognize this, that when we remember Allah in the morning, maraqabah, dhikr, then look around, Allah, my Mawla, you give me this reward, such a massive blessing you've given to me, such a great mercy. Your heart should be bowed to Allah at that time. You should be aware totally of my Mawla, O Malik, owner of the universe, subhanallah. This is a dua I'm telling you, the dua of the morning. The dua of the morning, we should recite this. My Mawla, my Lord, my Rabb. Soon as the morning comes, do this dua. Recite this dua. Fantastic dua. That, oh my Mawla, my Lord, my Creator. That in the morning you've shown me the horizon, dusk, dawn. And most definitely, Allah, why am I telling you this dua? So you can remember it. Allah, you've allowed me to see this morning. And this morning that you're showing to me, most definitely in this morning, Allah, the whole universe and me, at the same time, the ni'mas we're getting at this time, it's due to you we're getting these ni'mas. What a beautiful dua. Beautiful dua. When this thinking develops in your head, then you have a good start to the day. Yes, and at that time, you're sitting in dhikr. When in the morning the sun is coming out, rising, masjid's empty, the sun's bowing to you, say subhanallah. That if you become proud of this and think you're the best, or should you bow to Allah? If you want to bow to Allah, submit to Allah and consider your mind and nothing. We are the worst doing Allah's dhikr with bandits and thieves. Maybe we won't come back tomorrow. When you leave in this way, then consider alhamdulillah, you've departed with humility in a humble mode, with the reward. And if you leave after doing dhikr, oh, I came to dhikr and I'm good and I'm the best, I've got this reward, I did this and that, and demand Allah, then you've left with pride from that gathering. So these emotions, note your emotions and feelings, that when you do good deeds, big deeds, bow to Allah suddenly. Rub your head on the ground. Be ashamed. Nobody should know. Consider yourself the worst of the worst of the worst people. I'm nothing, Allah, I'm nothing. I've done nothing. And you should have total yaqeen that my Rabb will give me the reward. That Allah, this morning that you're showing to me, wahdahu la sharika lahu, you are wahid, you are the one, la sharik. The rewards you've given today, right now in the universe, wahid, it's you who's giving, no other reason. No other reason. For this reason, that you are the owner. You are the one who rears and safeguards and assigns. Subhanallah. This is the dua of the morning. Asbahana, sabahna, in the morning. And a person should do this dua in the morning, in the beginning of the day. Allah, these are all your ni'mas, your treasures, your wealth, your fadl, your mercy. So let's do dua to Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives us the reward in parallel, continually. May Allah Ta'ala shower us with His rewards, with His ni'mas, with His treasures. And in parallel with that, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala may allow us to be humble and bow and submit and have fear and have the feeling that Allah is the one who gives, and have this fear that Allah, don't take this ni'mah away from us. We're not capable. We won't ever get it back. You are the one who gives and you can take it as well. It's no achievement of mine in anything. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq for doing this. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وأمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا حيو يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا فاضي الحاجات اقضي حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض يا شافي الأمراض Ya Shafiyul Murad, Ishfa Muradina, Ishfa Muradina, Ishfa Muradina. Allahumma awfina fi badni, Allahumma awfina fi sami, Allahumma awfina fi basri, Allahumma awfina fi basri, Allahumma awfina fi basri, Allahumma awfina fi qalbi. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nasta'in. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ہمارے کچھ ساتھیوں کے عزیز انتقال کر گئے پاکستان میں, ان کے لیے خاص دعا فرمائے, اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی مغفرت فرمائے, ان کے درجات کو بلند فرمائے, ان کے لواحقین کو اللہ تعالیٰ صبر زمین سے فرمائے, تمام مومنین مومنات کی بخشش فرمائے, تمام مومنین مومنات کی بخشش فرمائے, تمام مومنین مومنات کی بخشش فرمائے. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, وسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد لله.